Everybody loves to think their business is different. But ultimately, we're in the same game. We're in a battle for trust, and those that are willing to go out there and earn it, they're crushing it.
All right, it's time for another episode of the Grow the Dream Show. Today, you're in for a fantastic treat. We have Marcus Sheridan as our guest with a legendary story of a small business turnaround, all because of content marketing. Find out how you can apply the same lessons that Marcus learned and lots more. All that coming up right now on the Grow the Dream Show.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when, you know, when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to the Grow the Dream Show, episode number 23. David Johnson here. And as usual, my suspects in crime, partners in crime, Rod Thompson, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you doing, David?
I am fantastic. And Josh Muccio, how are you?
I am well.
I can't believe this is episode 23.
It's what's special about 23?
They just keep getting bigger, I guess.
Doesn't everything?
Yeah.
Bigger and better.
They do. We've had some fantastic guests lately.
They are getting better, though. I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we are...
We're on a roll with great guests, let's face it.
And we are not stopping that roll today. on a roll with fantastic guests, and I am envious. I guess we just have to let it out that I'm not in the room with you guys this morning. I'm connected via Skype.
Yeah.
So you guys are enjoying a fantastic brew of the day,
yes,
which I'm not even sure I want to hear about.
It's a dark roast coffee culture.
Yeah. And actually, I've had this on my heart, and I really need to get it out. I know business and marketing is really, really important, but the brew of the day is also important, and we really, really need a new brew. So if you're listening and you have found that elixir of coffee goodness, isn't that your word, Rod? I'm picking up on words from you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We want to know. We really, really, really want to know about it so we can drink it, we can analyze it on air, and you know, feel good about ourselves. So that's, I'm going to get off of that. But
nope. Because
that
feeling good about ourselves is really the aim of the Grow the Dream
show. Well, it makes a better show anyway.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it does. It inspires us to excellence in marketing podcasting. So on that note, speaking of excellence in marketing podcasting, I'm excited about today's guest because, as we said a minute ago, we're on a roll. We've been on a roll. I mean, Joe Chernoff last week from HubSpot. This week, we have someone who, when I think about marketing podcasts and HubSpot, this is one of the names that just pops up.
Yeah.
We have with us this morning Marcus Sheridan, who is also known as
the Sales Lion.
And we told Marcus's story a few episodes ago because it appears as the foreword to Jay Baer's book, Utility, where Marcus Sheridan tells the River Pools and Spas story. It's an amazing story. Marcus, welcome to the Grow the Dream Show.
Gents, my pleasure. Happy to be here. Hopefully I'll say something that doesn't stink and actually gives value to your listeners this morning.
That's what we're counting on, Marcus.
Yeah, if not, you are fired, and that's the way we're going to get.
Because there's no guarantee we'll say anything productive.
That's right. So it's really, there's all the burdens on you, Marcus.
Nice.
I love it. So, hey, obviously, the Sales Lion is your newest incarnation, and you've been at that for a few years now. Can you tell us what you do as the Sales Lion?
Well, I would, so I went from being a pool guy to a guy that was talking about what I was doing with pools and marketing and how it's impacting sales. And then people started saying, hey, can you tell that story at our event or at our conference? And so I started doing that. And then they said, hey, can you show us how you did that with your company? Is it possible that we do that as well? And I said, okay, sure. I'm happy to do that. And then all of a sudden it turned into a full-blown business. And so today, mainly what I do is, number one, I travel all over the world and give keynotes and conference talks and a lot of workshops on this thing, these things that we call inbound or content marketing. And but I think what's served me well, David, is I talk about it in a way generally that most people just immediately understand it. Your average Joe CEO, average Jane CEO, usually just gets it immediately. That's what served me so well, probably because I wasn't a business school guy. I was just literally I graduated with a degree in Spanish in gym teaching, right? That's what I was. That was my awesome accolades from college. And the other side of the business is we do a lot of coaching. So we do a lot of HubSpot coaching. We create a ton of HubSpot educational contents, and we have a lot of smaller retainer coaching clients where we help them to be world class when it comes to content marketing, thus driving more traffic, leads, sales, and building the brand in the process. That's it.
I love it. I love it. And of course, along the way, you guys are producing two podcasts
that are rocking.
Yeah, yeah. So Mad Marketing, and that's usually just you. I mean, that's your thing, right? And then you have one of your
crew. That's Mad Marketing is a crazy guy in a dark room, really, really late at night, that has a 3 or 4 bullet points on the screen and just starts talking, and usually goes for about 35 minutes, right? And that has a funny, unique crowd of people, because not everybody likes monologue, but the ones that do really, really get into it, right? So it's different that, and then there's Podcast, which is the only podcast out there that's just about HubSpot. And that's all we do, is we talk about HubSpot. It's me and George Thomas, and we riff on it for about 30 minutes an episode. It's pretty fun, pretty good times.
Good stuff. And that's why, of course, I said earlier that I think of you when I think of HubSpot and podcasting. So that's pretty cool. So, you know, we did like a snapshot of the River Pools and Spas story, but not everybody listening to this episode has heard the story. And I know you probably share it all the time. So can you give us like a quick,
Here's the quick 101. So started the business River Pools with two guys, literally out of the back of a pickup truck, installing above ground pools in 2001. And we slowly grew the company, and we were, you know, fighting along, and thought we were getting ready to make headway. And then the market just fell out in 2008. And within 48 hours of the Dow crash in 2008, we lost $250,000 in business. People that were going to get a pool that couldn't afford
In
48 hours, which for some companies listening to this, that's not a lot of money. For a pool guy, it's a stank of a lot of money. I mean, that's a lot of money. And then by January of 2009, we had 16 employees sitting at home. We had gone through 3 straight weeks being overdrawn in our bank accounts. I was talking to different business consultants, and every single one said, hey, you really should file bankruptcy. And so that was when we were looking over the edge, right? And we said, we've got to do something. We've got to do something to generate more traffic, more leads, more sales. We just don't have any money to do it. We got to do it relatively fast. So I started reading online, and I actually stumbled first across HubSpot, and that's where really the connection begins there. And I started reading about inbound marketing and content, whatnot. But, you know, to me, David, what I kept seeing or hearing in my head was, okay, it's really simple. If you're willing to hear the questions that your prospects and customers have and then address them on your website through text and video, then you just might be successful. And so I said, fine, that's it. That's our philosophy. They ask you answer 4 simple words, and they ask you answer went from producing that content to what is today the most traffic swimming pool website in the world. Last month, River Pools got over 500,000 visitors. It saved the company, and it's a story that's been featured in, obviously, you know, multiple books, publications all over the world. It's very, very fascinating. And despite the fact that I've told it hundreds and hundreds of times, I absolutely love it, because it's just, you know, everybody loves to think their business is different, David. You can go into a room, and you can go to 100 business owners, and you would say, how many of you feel like you're in a very unique or different industry? And everybody raises their hand. And that's what's so hilarious. Nobody thinks they're just like the next person, but ultimately we're in the same game. We're in a battle for trust, and those that are willing to go out there and earn it, they're crushing it, and they're certainly doing it online. And those that are not thinking and obsessing over this phrase called trust, they're not doing very good with sales and marketing, and then they're wondering how it happened.
You're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we hear, but yeah, but my industry is different, or my business is so, you know, we're unique or we're what, that doesn't work for us.
It's a disease. And if anybody ever says it, immediately you should recognize that you have a problem. You know, I've so far this year, I've given this one, I counted the other day, is 52 different presentations and keynotes. The first thing I address on in every single one, no matter if it's 1,000 people or 10 people in the room, I ask this one simple question: who here thinks they're the exception to everything I'm getting ready to say? Because ultimately, there's two types of people. There is the first one that hears a new philosophy, a new idea, and they say, okay, that's possible. I could see how that might work in our space, our industry, our niche. And then there's the opposite, and they say, well, you see, Marcus, that might have worked for you as a pool guy, but you don't understand. We're a B2B service provider, and the way we do things is incredibly customized in our space. Yeah, and what's funny is, you know, our clients at the sales line, 70% are B2B, majority are service, and we do the exact same philosophy every single time in terms of the way that we approach sales and marketing. It's no different.
Right, of course. Marcus, one of the things you said a little bit earlier just fascinated me as far as the, how things flow a little bit. But we're talking about content marketing a lot. It almost sounds like you actually transitioned from being a pool guy into the sales lion through organic content marketing. I mean, you were providing information out there and more people wanted that information, and pretty soon that became your business.
Well, it really did. I started using inbound and content marketing. And by the way, I look at those words essentially interchangeably. I don't want to confuse the audience, but we'll just call it content marketing for the sake of ease, right? So I started content marketing in March of 2009 with River Pools. By November of that year, I realized that I was onto something special. And I'm the type of guy that if I'm doing something, I want to tell people about it. It's like, wow, this stuff is working. So as a birthday present to myself in November of 2009, I started a website called The Sales Lion. And I just, you know, like lions, I think they're awesome. The first book I ever read was C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, that's a great book.
Yeah, so I always wanted to have a business with that, and sales made the most sense. So I'm like, The Sales Lion sounds cool. And I was just writing about this stuff. I mean, I really was. I was just writing about it. And then all of a sudden, but I was committed to telling the story and improving my craft. And I remember specifically, I'll get a little personal, change gears. I am going to get really personal all of a sudden on you guys. Hopefully, it will make you uncomfortable. So
I was going to say, should we be scared here?
Yeah, you might. Tighten your belt. So it was November 2009. And I had this impression that I needed to start this blog. And it was just a strong impression. I felt like, okay, if you do this, Marcus, it's going to change your life. You should need to tell a story, what's happening right now, what you're doing right now, what the results have been. And so I remember specifically going to my wife one night, and I said to her, honey, I have a strong impression that I need to start this website called The Sales Lion, and I need to talk about all that we're doing with sales and marketing. She said, okay, that's great. I said, but there's one problem. It's gonna require probably a good bit of time. And I'm already full time with River Pools, working very hard. And so I think in order to make this work, I need to do it at night late, like 11 p.m., 12 a.m., maybe even 1 a.m. in that time frame. I need to do it during that time. In other words, honey, we have always gone to bed at the same time, and I don't think that's gonna work if I'm gonna make this work.
Wow.
And she said, well, if you feel strongly that's what you need to do, then you do that. And of course, it changed everything. Now, it didn't hurt our marriage. If anything, it helped it, because what was hurting our marriage at the time before that was the financial stress of almost going bankrupt, right? And so this really, really benefited us. But for us, that was a big sacrifice. But that's a microcosm example of the ones that are really, truly crushing it in this digital world that we live. They don't make excuses, and they certainly say they don't have time, because in life, when somebody says, yeah, I just don't have the time to do that, essentially what they're saying is that thing really isn't valuable to me.
Yeah, I'm prioritizing other stuff ahead of that. Yeah.
Magically, as humans, we always find the time for that which we value.
Boy, so true. So can we jump back to, so you, this is November 2009, so you've been blogging for a little while. By then, you already are clearly aware of the difference that the content that you're putting out for the pool business is making in terms of the pool business itself. Can you tell us what did you start to notice? I mean, obviously you saw traffic climbing. I mean, you gave us a snapshot of your traffic numbers here for the pool business just last month, which is insane, by the way. Half million. What did you say?
Half a million visitors a month.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's any small business.
And they're too shabby.
For no, pools. And what kind of service area does that pool business serve? Just for the
Virginia and parts of Maryland. So parts of, I'd say 60% of Virginia. And most of Maryland.
Okay.
75%
right.
of Maryland.
So small region.
I'm sure your traffic is worldwide.
So it is a location-based business of 3 hours, essentially, radius.
A three-hour radius. Okay, that helps. So with respect to that business, when you guys were cranking out all this content, and I know it was primarily you doing that, what did you start to see about the new leads that you guys were generating? What was different about them?
So I noticed actually very quickly that it was working. I noticed very quickly it was working. I'm sure we started to get more traffic, but the conversations that we were having with customers started to be different. So let me share this one story. It's too important to miss for those that are listening. And I know y'all have heard me talk about it before, but I'm saying it anyway. When we embrace this philosophy of the ask, you answer, the most obvious question that came to mind that we got asked within the first 5 minutes of anybody calling us was, okay, Mark, I'm not going to hold you to it, but can you give me a feel for how much this costs? And so the obvious question there is, how much does a fiberglass pool cost? Because that's what we specialize in, is fiberglass pools. Well, 6 years ago, David, nobody in the world had addressed how much a fiberglass pool costs on their website. And the question is, why hadn't they done it? Well, they hadn't done it for the same reason that 90%+ of your listeners haven't done it, because they're afraid of two things. Number one, they're afraid to scare off the competition. And number two, they're afraid that they'll scare customers away. But here's what's the reality. The reality is, when you or I go online and we can't find, and we're researching how much something costs and we can't find it, our first emotional reaction is frustration. We literally get angry. And here's what we don't do. We don't stay on that site and dig, nor do we pick up a phone and say, well, that's okay that they're not talking about their pricing. They're a value-based company. I'll call them instead. No, we don't do that. We go to the next website and then the next one and the next one until somebody's willing to answer our question. And whoever answers our question, they're going to get the first phone call and they're probably going to get the business. That's the reality for you, me, Josh, everybody that's on this line, everybody that's listening, it's a reality for everyone. Notwithstanding, most businesses don't even talk about cost and price on their website. So one of the first articles that we ever wrote was, how much does a fiberglass pool cost? Within 48 freaking hours of writing that, it ranked number one on Google for fiberglass pool cost, fiberglass pool prices. How much does a fiberglass pool cost? How much does it cost to install a fiberglass pool?
What? Okay, because we should stop you for a second. The reason it ranked so quickly,
nobody else did it.
Nobody had ever written it.
Nobody had done it because everybody was afraid of the elephant in the room. They were more scared of the competition and the bad fit client than they were the one that's actually going to give them money. And that's why you do not base sales and marketing decisions on those that do not pay you money. And ultimately, that article, because we have HubSpot and because we can track things, that article, and I kid you not, and I exaggerate not when I say this, has made us to this day over $2.5 million in additional revenue. Now, for a company that gets... You know, at the time, we were getting roughly $4 million in revenue a year. Just think about that. That's unbelievable change. So you can scale it out to your business if you're listening. $2.5 million. One article saved my business. And here's the thing. I never actually said how much a fiberglass pool cost.
You didn't.
Because the answer is the same thing for everybody on that's listening to this right now.
It depends.
And that is the answer. It depends.
Yes. Of course
now,
it does.
Now, what I did, though, in 1,000 words, in very clear explanation, I explained why it depends. I said, you know, here are the factors that are going to drive it up. Here's the factors that are going to drive it down. Here are some really big ranges of cost. But ultimately, the answer to your question, until I know exactly what you want, is it depends. But that one article saved my business. One article. You see, some people will say, well, Marcus, isn't it too late in the game? You know,
that was my next question.
Did this work for me? Yeah, I know what the questions you're going to ask. I'm sorry, guys. I know every question you're going to ask before you're going to ask. It sucks to be you. I'm the mentalist.
I'm just going to leave.
The thing about it is, I have yet to see a single industry that didn't have a need for great teachers. And every company, I firmly believe, needs to write what I call the gospel according to you. You need to state your philosophy, your beliefs, the answers to the questions you get every single day on your website. Because let's say hypothetically, you never got another visitor from Google ever again. That doesn't mean that people aren't still coming to your website because they're still vetting you to death on your website directly through social, etc. And when they come to your website, my question for you is, are they fed? Do they fall in love? Do they feel like you speak their language? Or do they say, meh, this guy, just like everybody else, you got 5 or 10 questions that are answered. You got a 15-page website. I'm telling you what, that's not going to get your results. You know, in 2013, we sold 95 fiberglass swimming pools. Because of HubSpot, advanced analytics, we know that the average customer read that year, that bought a pool from us, prepare yourself, over 100 pages of the site.
The average. 100.
The average. The average. Customer. Is that crazy? Now, if you had come to me, guys, and you had said, Marcus, do you realize that, if you come to me 6 years ago, and you said, Marcus, do you realize your average customer would be willing to read over 100 pages of your site? Do you know what I said? I've been like, dude, you have no idea what you're talking about. You don't understand my business.
You don't understand my customer.
And that's the same thing that so many businesses want to think until they see, wow, this is the digital consumer. This is how they work.
I would think particularly for a high-cost item like a pool, they're going to do their research. I can see some industries that might be different.
It has nothing to do with cost. Do not sell yourself that lie. The reality is value. And some people value $5. Have you ever spent 30 minutes online just to save $5 on a silly widget? And the answer is a lot of people have. We will spend 30 minutes online when we're on some site looking for the stupid coupon code. That saves us 10 bucks.
Yeah, you're describing my wife, not so much me.
But, but she's a customer.
I know.
So some people that just recently bought a cell phone and they were comparing the latest Android models, or they're comparing a Samsung versus an iPhone. And they spent literally, they didn't even realize it, but they looked at dozens and dozens of pages comparing those two different phones. A phone costs $300 or $400. See, it's the value of the thing. And that value changes per person.
Well, that's amazing.
You guys are dumbfounded. You're not saying.
Well, I never really thought of it.
Everybody's scared now.
I'm not sure you need us anymore, really. Says, okay, so the next question you're going to ask is because you are the mentalist.
Yeah, what else
is
on our minds here?
Now, what are you thinking?
See, that's the risk of inviting me on the show. It just goes, man. It just, you know, I'm too passionate about this because it changed my life. People say, why is a guy so passionate? Really, it changed my life.
Right. Well, I personally love passion. That, you know? Right. Exactly. And I love passion in people for something that they deeply believe in and they're living and all. I thoroughly respect that. You were talking about the website a little bit and webs and there is some discussion.
Webs?
Webs. There is some discussion.
The webs and my content.
The interwebs.
Yeah. On the Twitters.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
the Twitter.
Okay. So to the question, however, is it seems like there's a lot of discussion now that actually the importance of individual websites and web design is declining. Even some discussion of the death of web design and the importance of it.
That was one article.
And it's one that I'm thinking that the sales lion might be familiar with and have some thoughts on. I mean, is that really the case or... is a company's website as important or more important than ever?
Well, I think we have to be careful when we say, is web design the art of declining? I think one could argue absolutely yes. Is the importance of the web experience, and of course design is part of that, is that declining? Well, it's never been greater, right?
Right.
So why is web design, and I put that in quotes, declining? Because we've become a template world. That's what we are. I mean, 25% of the internet is on WordPress.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know much code that can produce a decent site on WordPress based on templates. And that's why so many websites today look very, very similar. They just do. I'm not saying that's good or bad. It just is what it is. What separates it, though, is the style of the communication, the copy. Right.
You mean the content?
The copy
like content is king? that sort of thing? Because we had a whole issue on that here a while back. And since I'm a content provider in a lot of ways and always have been.
Are you going back to episode one right now?
Yes, I am, Josh. Am I wrong here, Marcus?
It's kind of semantics.
The content, what you provide is...
that's true, right?
Right.
One could say content is king, but I think ultimately the message and the feeling that someone gets when they read or view or listen to your stuff, that's king. That
how,
is king.
And how is so that different? How is the message different from
is
content?
What allows that to happen.
Question for you. How is message that you say different from content? I mean, I'm really curious about this because I've had customers that were very, very interested in the whiz bang stuff. And when I would look at their site content wise, message wise, words, what they're saying was awful for their target audience. And when I would go in and fix that without changing anything on the website, it dramatically changed their conversions. And so I guess I'm asking you, because I think it is important to listeners, are you making a distinction between content and the message, or am I just parsing words unnecessarily?
I don't know if I necessarily want to say that they are. I mean, they're certainly dependent on each other. But let me tell you where my mind is with this. So let's talk simple for a second, and let's say that two swimming pool companies write the exact same article, and one is and the title of the article is fiberglass versus concrete pools, which is better. Okay. And see, the way most swimming pool companies would write that comes from a place of bias. And so within the first couple of paragraphs, I would know as the reader that that company sold one of the two, and that's what they were trying to sell me. But if you're world class with your messaging, with your copy, you write first paragraphs like this. And this is an example of how that would sound. You know, each year at River Pools, hundreds of pool shoppers come to us with one simple yet important question. I'm looking at concrete and fiberglass. Tell me, which one should I choose? Now, the thing is, here at River Pools, we only sell fiberglass. But the reality is fiberglass might not be the best choice for you. In fact, concrete might be the better option. What this article is going to do, it's going to give you the pros and the cons of each type of swimming pool. And then by the end, you'll be able to decide which is the choice for you. Now, you say that's not exciting, but the numbers say that gets trust immediately. And the difference between great copy and poor copy is stuff that generates immediate trust. And the only way you generate immediate trust as a business is if you present the other side and the value of the other side immediately.
That makes sense.
Interesting.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And that's something I would think that's immediate trust, but that's long-term value too. Joe Chernoff was talking last week quite a bit about how blog posts that sort of get sticky, and the longer they go, the more value they add. And that would seem to flow right in line with that.
Well, I mean, see, but look at HubSpot, for example. HubSpot doesn't necessarily do a great job with this, okay? Because oftentimes, if you read their stuff, and nobody loves HubSpot more than me, but if you read a lot of their copy, what they don't emphasize enough is who HubSpot is not a good fit for.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, that's great messaging, because it's as important, if not more, that you say who you're not for than who you are as a business.
Well, that will certainly save you a lot of time in winnowing out the wrong customers. But
it
also
saves
provide
your customers time too, and they
exactly provide
it.
Value.
That's what really matters.
Provide
it's
value
how they
to
feel,
customers. Good point.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
All right, so I'm already going to go fix a couple of things on our website. One is we're going to start talking about price. And secondly, we're going to talk about all the people we don't want to serve.
Is that your takeaway here?
These are my two takeaways. So these are my two big takeaways so far, because, I mean, Marcus, I've digested a little bit of your material before, so I feel like I knew the rest of it. But this part, these are like the big ones that I'm taking away so far.
Well,
that's why you've been so quiet.
I had somebody come to me recently, and she said, Marcus, I was choosing between you and a really big inbound marketing agency that's super popular and everybody knows who they are in the HubSpot space. And she said, the reason why I chose you is you have a page on your site that says who we're not a good fit for. You actually explained who you don't serve. And after I saw that, I realized that, yes, we were going to be a perfect match.
And that's so powerful. I mean, because like you said, I mean, everybody wants to know what the price is going to be, and people value transparency. So when you're able to be just real and say, look, I really don't want to serve any and everybody.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily saying I don't want to serve everybody. It says we are not a good fit for everyone because we have certain strengths in other areas. There's other people that are stronger, so you might as well go with them. People love that. It's no different than if I say, look, if you want a pool that's longer than 40 feet or incredibly customized in terms of its shape or wider than 16 feet, well, then fiberglass probably isn't the best fit for you. But if you're looking for a low maintenance pool that's going to last a lifetime, that's less than 16 by 40, and we have a shape that fits your needs, then fiberglass, keyword coming up, might be a great choice for you.
Well, okay, so talk about why that's such a keyword.
Well, because we like to, with copy, okay, companies like to put definitives. They like to say, you really should do this. You should never do that. You should never do that. Unless you're like, unless you're an op-ed type of, you know, writer, right? But that's not what most businesses are. So most businesses like to say, you should absolutely choose our product, and here's why. Well, the correct way is, this might be your best choice, but only if you fit these parameters. Because the best salespeople in the world know that the one that actually wants to sell is the customer. They want to sell themselves. And the key to that is they have to self-qualify. So if somebody's reading that silly article about pools and they're like, oh, great, I just wanted a pool that was 15 by 30 in a rectangle. See, they're going to self-qualify as they read that. And they're going to become more into us than they ever would have been. And besides, the person that wanted a 50 by 30 pool, we never had a chance anyway, and so
you wouldn't have been a good fit for them. So I like this train of thought, because this is obviously, first of all, it's the opposite of what you hear when you listen to the experts on writing good sales copy, right? Because they're gonna tell you to put your pitch in print in a really strong way. But in reality, when we deal with people face to face or on the phone, and we're having a personal interaction with somebody and we're selling, we do use a lot of questions. We ask them questions that help them do what you just said. They self-qualify, but it's hard to do a questioning process effectively in print. You can do it. In fact, I have a friend who wrote an entire brochure without a single period. Every sentence ended in a question mark. of course, he did it on purpose as a stunt, but it was really ridiculously effective. So, I mean, there are ways to do questioning in a print format, but if you do what you just said, which is to lower your defenses here and say, look, we're not the best fit for everybody. This might be the best choice for you if then what you've done is you've allowed you've empowered the customer to make a decision rather than try to push your agenda. Is that more or less what you're saying?
Well, you've empowered them. You've also sent them a signal that, hey, this person is not a biased hack like most of the salespeople I've talked to. I mean, fact is, as soon as we talk to a salesperson or read sales copy or any type of copy, we expect it, even subconsciously, to be biased. And we're just waiting to say, uh-huh, yep, there it is. And so you immediately have to do what I call disarm. Okay. It's disarmament when it comes to content marketing. That's why every first paragraph or initial statement should immediately tell somebody, like, if I say we only sell fiberglass pools, but the truth is a fiberglass pool might not be the best fit for you. Concrete might be the better option. That immediately has the person lean in. And when they lean in, whether you can see it or not, now we're going to make progress.
That makes a lot of sense. Leaning in, I like that a lot. It's like grabbing a little more of their attention. I think that what you're saying here is actually a great principle for businesses in general to try and get a hold of. I know with myself in a non-marketing way, but with several people that have come to me for work with my company, and I've known that we weren't the right fit, and I have sent them to others. In fact, David was one, and they have, and it worked out really well. And what that does is that generates goodwill for you, you know, in my case, in a geographic community, it generates goodwill for you. But so that principle stands, you know, in a local sort of way like that, in the exact same way you're talking about it in a broader marketing sense, where basically you generate goodwill towards yourself and your company and your brand by what you're offering, which might be, I'm not the best guy. Consider this type of thing.
Well, I
which
like
is a mindset,
say, the happiest,
right?
The happiest day in the life of a business owner is not when they figure out who they are. It's when they figure out who they're not and who they don't want to serve.
Yeah. Yeah.
What and customers
that's
they don't
a,
want.
That's a tough one because so many companies are saying, well, I can't afford to turn anybody away.
Because they
away.
Need the cash flow.
Exactly.
And here's what happens. They take the money with that gut impression that, hey, I don't have a good feeling about this one, but I need the money. I need the money. I need the money. Mm-hmm. And then when they are in the midst of working with that disaster client, they get out of the bed, they're frustrated, and they say the same thing every single time, but the money wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You're getting to the heart of the issue right there.
Can we say something else crazy about the competition for a minute?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because this is, I think, for all the small business owners that listen to this, if they do this one thing, it's going to make them money next year. And I love helping people drive more revenue, right? Because it's awesome if you're willing to listen to the consumer. So when we were following the principle of the Ask You Answer at River Pools, if you recall, I was obsessed with the questions people would ask me. And one time I was in Richmond, Virginia, and somebody asked me after a 2.5 hour sales appointment, they said to me, so Marcus, we really, really like you. And we're probably going to use you, but if we don't use you, is there anybody else you would recommend?
Whoa.
And of
what
course,
a rude question.
Wow, that's
well,
bold.
If anybody's ever gotten that question, it's actually a good sign because it means people trust you enough to ask.
True enough.
Wow.
And so I actually got it a lot as a pool guy. And I remember when I got it that night, and you never like hearing it because it means they're probably still shopping. And so I remember driving home that night and I said to myself, well, Marcus, they asked you the question. So that means you got to answer it.
Four words.
Literally that night I went home and I wrote an article that, and this was the title of the article, who are the best pool builders in Richmond, Virginia? /reviews/ratings. And I listed five of the best pool builders in Richmond, Virginia. So I did. I listed five and I explained a little bit about each company. And by the way, I didn't put myself on that list of the best, myself on that list of five, which shocks people.
You are a stinking mind reader. I was going to ask you that exact question. I was going to ask you
right
about your competition.
The mentalist.
So I'm sorry to steal the question. I actually didn't know you were going to ask that one, but it's too critical of a principle and a story to miss, because when I did that, a few incredible things happened. Number one, if you go online today and you research best pool builders, Richmond, Virginia, of course, we outrank all the other stupid rating sites like Angie's List or anything like that, and we're the first one that you read. That one single phrase generates a lot of income for our company because it's very powerful, and every location-based business in the world, even national businesses, can benefit from talking about that. Number two, if you go online today and you type in something like reviews and you list one of my competitors, Richmond, Virginia, which is very common phrases as well, we also rank for those phrases. And so in other words, today when anybody is researching our competitors, they usually find us first. Let me give you an example. I had a lady come to me a few years ago and she said, Marcus, the most interesting thing happened. I was this close to signing a contract with Playmore Pools. And by the way, that's our biggest competitor in Richmond. She said, I was this close to signing a contract with Playmore Pools in Richmond, Virginia. And before I signed that contract, I decided to go online and research the company. And as I was researching the company, I stumbled across this article that you guys had written. I said, my goodness, these guys are so honest. I should probably call them too. And of course, you know the end of that story because otherwise I wouldn't be sharing it. Right? That one single article made us $150,000 in sales that year. And what's crazy is sometimes people will say, well, Marcus, aren't you afraid you've now introduced them to the competition? At which point I slap my forehead and I say, if somebody wants to know who your competitors are, how long does it take them to figure it out?
True. Yeah. You might as well be the one that does it.
Well, it establishes trust if you're
the
one that
introduces. Here's the moral of the story. Ignorance, consumer ignorance is no longer a viable sales and marketing strategy.
Oh, that's great. Wow, that's something to absorb.
If you're concerned about the competition, then maybe your value proposition isn't good enough anyway.
Yeah, it stinketh a great stink.
It stinketh a great stink.
King James, according to Marcus.
So I do have one question here, Marcus, before you go ahead and answer it.
You guys, you were like, that sales line pool guy cat, I hate him.
I hate
not
him.
At all.
So when you're writing copy just virtually anywhere, whether it's email or blog posts or just messaging for your homepage, what do you have any buzzwords that you just stay away from? Do you have like a list of words that you know you just never will say because it gives the wrong impression?
Another question he hasn't heard.
Got one.
You know, I can't actually think of one right now because me, it's more of a, it's not so much the word that's deadly. It's the way we use the words, right? What I'm obsessed with most and what we spend so much time training clients with is not coming across as biased, right? So any word that would denote utter bias, we try to eliminate that and shift it, or the phrase, right? You know, we try to shift that up to come across as the unbiased helper or teacher for that potential customer. So I got nothing for you guys. Stumped.
That's okay. You can write a blog post about it later.
We're now in a competition to see which one of us can generate the question that you haven't anticipated the most. So another takeaway for small business owners. I mean, obviously, you spend a lot of time talking not just to business owners, but inside of bigger corporations, right? So what do you see that may be different about a content strategy for, say, somebody that owns a business like River Pools, where they serve a local market, or perhaps a B2B business that's maybe a mom and pop or a smaller business, maybe fewer than 100 employees or whatever, as compared to like a corporate monstrosity where you might be hired as a consultant?
Well, I mean, I think the successful traits of these companies doesn't change. It doesn't change. And to me, what we have essentially is when you look at those companies that are successful with content marketing, those that are not, it's literally a battle of the digital Davids versus the Goliaths, right? So the digital Davids, they're quick, they're nimble, they're fast. If they want to get a blog post written, they do it. They get it done. They don't find excuses. They think outside the box. They don't sit there and worry about every little stinking thing. They don't have to, it doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be good. Right? It has to be good. Whereas you have the Goliaths, and the Goliaths have a lot of red tape. They're very, very slow. If anything is going to get passed, it has to go through some silly board, or has to go through their lawyers, or has to go through this, or has to go through that. And look, I'm not saying that you're reckless with your content, but I've seen large corporations that are digital Davids in terms of their mentality. Because of that, they're doing incredible things. I've seen small businesses. I've seen solopreneurs that are Goliaths in terms of their approach to content marketing, right? They can't get out of their own way. And because they can't, they're not doing anything special. I think what really, really matters, first and foremost, is that the culture is we want to be the best teachers in the world when it comes to that thing that we do, that thing that we sell. We're obsessed with the questions, the fears, the worries, the concerns that our prospects and customers, our clients have. We're willing to address them. We can't always answer them specifically because we can't, but we are willing to address them just as we would if we were talking to them face to face. If anybody has that mentality, they do great.
Well, that's great insight.
That's fantastic. So I have a question. Are there any pieces of content that you took down after you reevaluated or rethought, or maybe did you just have to rewrite?
This is the embarrassed question.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm. You know, not on River Pools, right? Not on River Pools. I use that as my, like, that was my laboratory, right? And, you know, so when I started writing about the competition, everybody said I was crazy. I'm like, doesn't matter what everybody says. I just care about what the customer is asking me. When I started doing the sales line, I went through a period of time of that I look back on with not much fondness, if you will. And that's because when you get into the digital space and the niche that you choose is a social space. When I say social, it's like, no, but like I've got stuff at River Pools. Like like that cost article. It's been read over 500,000 times, that one single article. I think it's been tweeted and liked on Facebook like a couple times. So in other words, it's not social. That industry is not social. People don't go online on Twitters and start saying, hey, look at my $50,000 new pool. They just don't do that. I mean, maybe a couple, you know, people in Hollywood, but everybody else doesn't do that. That's not how we don't, it's not a socially driven industry. But when I started talking about marketing and social and content, it's a very socially driven industry. In other words, there's a lot of people tweeting it, liking it, this, that. And the problem is, the moment that happens and the moment you start to see those vanity metrics come in, it can start to change the way that you think and what you write about. And I remember there were times when I said, I don't know if I want to write about this because I don't know if it's going to generate the number of comments that would that one of my articles should generate. Or I don't know if it's going to get a ton of tweets and likes. Hmm. And so I think I had like an 18-month period, and there was a lot of people in the industry just like that, where I went through that phase and I was more worried about comments, tweets, likes, all the vanity metrics. And I wasn't concerning myself with that which mattered the most, which was how to generate more leads and more revenue for the company. So it's not a specific article, but a mentality that I have that I look back on and say, I wish I had done that differently.
That's really cool. Man.
You know, I did a study one time. I've got on the sales line over 20,000 real non-spam comments. And of those 20,000, a total of zero have become a customer.
Huh. Oh. Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
They're probably all other marketers.
Crazy or what?
Yeah. I mean, are those all people just learning from you for their own business, but they're not interested in?
Yeah. A lot of them are in the marketing space.
Right.
So it's marketers talking to marketers.
Right.
Yay, us.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
and the other side is so people that want to give you money, they email you. That's how it works.
Yeah.
They email
true.
You or they fill out a form.
True.
Or they call
exactly
you.
Exactly right.
That's really cool.
And there's value
money,
there.
That's how they first engage you. Now, I've had customers that engaged us and then they became a commenter, but not the other way around.
Yeah. Oh, man. I bet that's hitting home with some people. I do have one question. It's the sales lion. And yeah, content marketing is your thing. But do you have any like tips for sales that we could just like if you were to say like number one tip on the
Dude.
Sales side of thing?
Dude.
Dude.
So glad you asked. If I knew the difference in all the voices, I would say thank you. And then I would say your
name. That's all right. There's three of us you don't know. It's all right.
That was the young guy. That was Josh.
That was the kid.
Yeah,
it's Josh, right? Okay, Josh. So let me tell you a really, really quick story. At the beginning of 2012, I was looking at two groups of people on my swimming pool website. Both had filled out a form and said, I want to get a quote from you. So the first group filled out the form and did not buy. The second group had filled out a form and they did buy. And so as I was comparing them, I said, okay, what's the difference between these two groups to make one buy versus one not? Is there any analytical, like, something happening there that would give me an indicator as to what I need to change about the sales process? And then the number 30 kept popping up underneath the group that bought, and that number 30 represented the total number of pages they had read. In other words, this is what we found. This was the great discovery. We found that if somebody read 30 or more pages of our website before the initial sales appointment, they would buy 80% of the time. Now, the industry average was about a 25% closing rate to appointment. So it would go from a 25% closing rate to an 80% closing rate. And that was when I said, my goodness. So it's not about what I do in the home. It's about what I do before I get to the home, specifically what the consumer does before I get to the home. And so then we started what I call assignment selling, right? So assignment selling hypothetically is, let's say, Josh, you call me up. You're like, yo, Marcus, I'm checking out your website. Could you come out to my house this Friday and give me a quote for a pool? Well, it used to be that we would say, yeah, sure. But today our process is different. Today we say, Josh, I'd love to come out to your house, but you're getting ready to spend a lot of money. And if you're going to spend a lot of money, you don't want to make any mistakes. So as to ensure you don't make any mistakes, I'm going to send you two things right now via email that are going to change the whole game for you and make this process so much better. The first thing I'm going to send you is a link to a video. Now, this video is great because it's going to show you the entire process of a pool being installed in your backyard. You're going to really see it for yourself. And this way, when I get to your house, you're not going to have to ask me, okay, Marcus, so what does this process look like? You're already going to know. The second thing I'm going to send you is a guide or an ebook, if you will, that's really, really helpful. And it's going to answer all the questions that you have right now. For example, should you get a heater with your pool? What's the best type of heater? Should it be gas? Should it be electric? Should you get a cover? What's the best type of cover? Should it be mesh? Should it be solid? Should you get a salt chlorine generator? What's the best type of salt chlorine generator? Right. So it's going to answer all those questions for you. Now, it's a little bit long, about 30 pages, but I promise it'll be well worth your time. And then I say to you, Josh, will you take the time to review those things before our appointment on Friday? And 90% of the time, Josh says, yeah, sure, I'd love to. But the thing about it is, what he doesn't realize, he just said to me, Marcus, I promise you, 4 out of 5 times, I'm going to buy the pool.
Wow. Oh, wow. Terrific.
Well, this where did that content come from? Was it stuff that you just adapted from all those blog posts?
Yeah, it's all it was. Just refurb.
So
refer a blog post, baby. Top questions that people are asking.
So if somebody like already read 30 blog pages and then they filled it out, would you still send them all that?
No, I would not actually. And I'm glad you asked that question. So you don't know that though, unless you
measure
have HubSpot or unless you have advanced analytics, something beyond just Google Analytics, because Google Analytics, folks, measures numbers. It doesn't measure names.
Right.
You need something that once somebody fills out a form on your site, you can see, okay, they came to this page, they came to that page. That's why I can say our average customer read over 100 pages of our site. You know, we have lots of people that read 300 or 400 pages of our site before they engage us, right? And some of you are thinking to yourself, how many freaking pages you got, Marcus? Well, when we started this process of the Ask You Answer, we had 25 pages to our website roughly in 2009. Today we have about 1,000. You say, well, that's a lot of pages. How do you get that many pages? Well, I still haven't answered all the questions. Wow. Yeah.
There you go. They keep asking questions you haven't answered. Okay.
Yeah. And I keep in mind, I'm not a pool guy anymore, obviously. And at this point, I mean, I'm just a silent partner. But, you know, for us, for the first year, I felt like I was pushing a snowball up a mountain. But eventually, that snowball crested the mountain. And then one day, I pushed the last time, and it just rolled by itself. And that's really what's happening now with the Riverpool site. It's taking on a life of its own. It's truly amazing. And that's why, you know, it's getting 500,000 views. And because of what's happened with Riverpools, we're now manufacturing pools as well. And so, you know, it's similar to, we were a Ford dealer. Now we're going to be Ford. Right. And so within the next 3 or 4 years, I would expect us to be one of the largest manufacturers of fiberglass pools in the entire country. But it all happened because we said, why don't we become the Wikipedia of our industry?
Nice. Josh has one more quick question for you here.
how can you tell?
I don't know how quick it's going to be, but go
well,
ahead.
I'm just curious about advanced analytics. HubSpot is obviously an all-inclusive suite with a lot of powerful, powerful tools, but you kind of brushed over that Google Analytics is not enough. Is there something, if there's like somebody's just wanting to kind of understand...
Tweener?
What is that?
Tweener. Yeah.
A tweener. Yeah. The best tweener that I've seen out there is called Leadlander. Leadlander is really good. It's inexpensive. And it's very ideal for anybody that fills out a form getting advanced intelligence about them. And it doesn't cost very much. So for the person that can't necessarily afford a HubSpot and doesn't want to go all in, but wants to start getting advanced intelligence before you start running your sales calls, because sales calls, they change dramatically when you see the pages of the website that somebody has read. Or, for example, when you can see that you sent somebody a video and they stopped watching it halfway, and then you say to them when you call them, so what'd you think of the video? And they say, oh, it was awesome, I loved it. You're like, oh, something's not right, because obviously they didn't watch the whole thing, right? Because of advanced analytics, you can do that today. And this is really more about sales than it's about marketing. And I think the big mistake that HubSpot made is they called themselves marketing automation and marketing software at the beginning. But really what they are is they are a sales tool that happens to measure marketing.
Wow.
That's good.
This is incredibly good stuff. I'm
feel
sorry
like we could do this again.
I know. I'm sorry our time has run out already here. I mean, actually, we've run long. This has been so good, Marcus. And we really appreciate it. I'm thinking about just listening. I've picked up several tips for my company, but I also was writing down some notes for a concept that I have that is actually outside my company right now. So I'm sure if it's been that valuable for me, it's been extremely valuable for our listeners, too.
You're going to share this concept in a future episode?
Future enough, yes.
Okay. Hey, so Marcus, real quickly, as we wrap up today, what's coming up for you? I mean, obviously, people can find you on Twitter. You're the Sales Lion on Twitter. How else do they find you, and where can they hear you speak?
Yeah. So lots of, you know, the big conferences. I'll be speaking at Inbound, Content Marketing World, Social Media Marketing Worlds. I'll be speaking in Sweden, Scotland, Brazil, Canada, you know, some other countries in the coming months.
That's a lot of travel for a man with
a
family.
I'd love to see you there. And, of course, you can check out Mad Marketing when I just riff away. One thing that is coming up, and I probably should announce it because I will curse it, and it's the most long overdue project of my life, but They Ask You Answer is going to be coming out probably by the end of this year.
All right, nice. So it's a book.
Yes. Yes.
Love it.
Way overdue. Considering Seth Godin's agent approached me 2 years ago and said, I would like to represent you for your book, and it took me almost 2 years to get it done. That's pretty embarrassing.
It is, except that that's because you're focused on the prize. I mean, you do a really good job of keeping your eyes on the prize for what you're working on.
Well, I appreciate it. I really, really do. I think I'm having so much fun that I don't, it's like, I think a lot of people write a book. I'm not saying this is good or bad, but a lot of people write a book for, I mean, there's just different reasons for
it. And, right, we get it.
You know, for me, it had to be the right time. And it was the right time because I realized They Ask You Answer is much deeper than answering questions on a website. It's an obsession with the way people think. You know, when Zappos said we should offer free shipping, that's a magical form of They Ask You Answer, because at the time everybody said it's stupid, it won't work, you can't do that. And of course, now all the companies have had to follow suit. But that was a form of They Ask You Answer because they eliminated the fear that people have when they buy shoes. And so that's why if you had asked a person 10 years ago, would you ever buy a pair of shoes without trying them on first? They would have said no, and people do it by the thousands every day today. And that's because of one simple shift in the way that they are sold.
Man. Good stuff.
So we might have to have like an annual reunion podcast with you next year, Marcus, to follow up, because this is just terrific
stuff.
I'll
be honored, and I won't talk nearly as much.
The point of you being on is for you to talk a lot, yes.
We'll have an episode where I just ask questions.
Fascinating.
Oh, terrific.
Hey, man, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. It's been a fantastic show. I'm going to listen to it again and take better notes. This time I tried not to be too distracted. Sometimes I take notes during the show and then I'm lost.
Yeah, I do that too. That's where you get those dead spots in the air. We're all writing down.
Yeah, no, this has been really, really good, man. Appreciate it very much. And we appreciate you listening to the Grow the Dream Show. You can find the rest of the archives at growthedream.com/show. And we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about your marketing, about growing your business? It's going to be great to hear from you. And Rod and Josh, we'll look forward to chatting with you guys next week. Marcus, thank you so much. This has been amazing.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.